mean, I'd be a good church member tonight. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to begin to read in verse 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, were it where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body," and that's division, by the way, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. We certainly need you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as the Apostle Paul is literally dealing with the body of Christ, he is dealing in that with the church as a whole. You realize that when you get saved, you're made part in that of the body of Christ. If you look in verse 13, it said right there, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now he differentiates between the Jew and the Gentile. He makes sure and says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. He makes a statement there and wanted them to realize that whether they were Jew or Gentile, whether they were bond or free, it did not matter, that by Christ Jesus the Lord, you're made into the body of Christ. And so tonight, as we look at the body of Christ for just a minute right here, I'm talking about the church as a whole. Now let me say, the only way that you become part of the body of Christ or you become part of the church is to get saved. Amen. You cannot be part of the church without salvation. Listen, you can join the local assembly. We can baptize you. We'll take you on a statement of faith. We'll call for a letter from another church. But friend, the only way to become part of the body of Christ is to trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And so you cannot become part of the church. You cannot become saved any other way. You must come to Jesus and ask Him to save you, and He will do that. Let me say tonight that, friend, I believe that Jesus loves the church. I believe He loves the church. I believe He loves the body of Christ. I believe He loves the local assembly. Listen, when He got Paul over there, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, and said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was Paul, or who was Saul persecuting? Well, he was persecuting the church. And the Lord Jesus Christ took that personally tonight when it came to that. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus takes you personal tonight as you are? He takes this church personally tonight. He takes the church as a whole, and then we have what's called local assemblies. The local church, we find that it's a body of Christ, if you'd let me say that. And friend, the way that you become part of the local church is to get saved and then join it and become a member and then serve God to the best of your ability. And he talked about as the church right here in a whole has many different members. Can I tell you that the local assembly is made up of many different members? This church cannot function with just one member.
Amen.
What do you mean? I was thinking the other day while we was in revival. I can play the piano, I can play the bass, and I can play the guitar, and I can lead singing, and I can preach. But I can't do them all at the same time. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, I can do them all separately. Well, no, actually, I can't. That would be a trick to watch me play the piano and the guitar and the bass all at the same time. Amen. That would be a trick. And I'd pay good money to see that. Amen. But listen, what I'm getting at is I might be able to do those things, but that don't necessarily mean that I need to. I've got a position. Listen, every local assembly is made up of different members.
Amen.
I mean, it's made up of the pastor. It's made up of Sunday school teachers. It's made up of deacons. It's made up of song leaders. It's made up of the choir. It's just made up of whoever is here and is part of the church and that trying to get the job done. And so tonight I want to preach on what does it mean to be a good church member. Now, each of us has a position in the body of Christ. Right? Every one of us has a position in the body of Christ. We've seen that right here. He talks about, some would say that if I'm the foot, then because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body. And the ears say to the eye, and it would talk to the nose and all those things. But tonight I want you to realize that you are very important to this local assembly.
Yes.
But let me ask you this tonight. How important is the local assembly to you? I mean, it ought to be very important. I preached this morning to you dads, and one thing that I said more than anything, now listen to me, was this. I said that the spiritual welfare of your home lies on your shoulders. If your family, if you are not, and your family, your wife and your children is not in church and taking part in the local assembly, then the spiritual welfare of your home is going to decline. Now you may not believe that tonight, but Jesus is a church man.
Amen.
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus loved this church,
amen,
gave himself for the church, ordained and established the church, and it's still here today. So I want to look for just a little bit on what does it mean to be a good church member. As we looked in this text scripture right here, we find that first of all that there was a position in the body. Can I tell you, number one, tonight, to be a good church member, you need to find your position in the house of God. You need to find out how God wants you to serve in the church. That word find literally means to discover or to seek out. Can I tell you tonight that church ought to be important to you?
Amen.
Amen. Before I started pastoring, church was important to me. After I got saved, church became important to me. It's where God's people is. It's where God comes by and visits with us. And I know He visits with us out there, and He fellowships with us out there. But it just seems like that God will come by and visit with us in here if we come with the right heart and the right attitude for Him to do that. But you need to find your position. You need to find out what God would have you to do. Church is more than just a place that you come to on Sunday and Wednesday and fill a pew and then leave. Church is a place that you are to come, first of all, to find some help for your life. I ought to be able to give you something out of this pulpit that would help you. Say amen right there. Listen, I'll put myself on this. Am I doing okay tonight? Okay, am I doing all right? Some of you say, I don't know about right now. Listen, church ought to be more than just a place that you come, but it ought to be a place that you come to find some help and to find some encouragement, to find some fellowship and that with God and God's people, and to find a time of worship in your heart where you can worship God. But let me say this tonight, that if you ain't right when you come in them back doors back there, thank God you can get right with God. But I'll be honest with you, until you get right, you're going to be miserable sitting right here. You can't come in here and worship God and your heart not be right with God. You can't come in here and worship God and your heart not be right with your neighbor. You can't come in here and worship God and your heart not be right with your mom and dad or with your children or with your spouse. It just won't work, friend. You got to have your heart right to come in and go to worship. But if you need to get saved tonight, you can get saved. Amen. But find your position. Find what God would have you to do. Now, I'm glad that you're here tonight. But friend, what is your desire to do in the church? So, well, I can't do much, preacher. I don't sing all that well. I'll have to say it again. It's a gentleman that me and Kelly used to go to church with. His wife would pat him on the leg and say, honey, just don't sing so loud when you get in the choir.
Yeah.
I thought that was so funny. And as long as he was beside somebody that could sing well, he could sing well. But if he was beside somebody that did not sing well, you had two people not singing well. Amen. And just find what God. You say, well, the Lord, He's not called me to preach. He's not made a Sunday school teacher out of me. He's not given me the talent to play. He's not given me the talent to sing. Then I tell you what you do. Then you start out by learning how to pray. Because we can all pray.
Amen.
And we can all witness. And believe it or not, you can all sing.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said, make a joyful noise.
That's right.
Unto the Lord.
That's right.
You can raise your hand when you come in here. Mm-hmm. There's little odd jobs around here at the church. If you would like to do something, we will find you something to do. Find you something to do. There's always things to be done. Did you know that? Find out what God would like for you to do. And then do it. Let me say this tonight, that something that you might want to do, you might have to be trained in, and we'll train you in it too. Amen. What do you mean? You say, well, preacher, I'd like to teach Sunday school, but I'm not much of a Sunday school teacher. Then the best thing you can do is just come to Sunday school for a while and sit on the pew and learn some things, and let's go home and study your Bible and learn how to study. Listen and get trained, because there's coming a day when we're going to need some more Sunday school teachers. Do you know that? Hey, can I tell you older folk that think that you might want to quit because you're getting old? Don't quit because you're getting old. Amen. Say, I'm tired. Hey, listen, the Bible said over in the book of Psalms, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. Just serve God to the end. Amen. A lot of people, they say, well, I've got old, and I just want to just sit down and let somebody else take over. Listen, them somebody that's going to take over, they're going to need some training about some things. You know what they said about the Old Testament priest at 50 years old? He served from 25 to 50 there at one point. I believe at 50 he was the one that was training the others that was coming up. And so you find that you need to find your position. And let me say this, if you come in here and you say, well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do that, then find your position on your pew and be here.
Amen.
Amen. Learn where your position's at and be here, so that you can get that help, you can get that encouragement, you can get that fellowship that you need. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if you're fellowshipping with that world out there, you've got the wrong fellowship tonight. You need the fellowship that is inside this house right here, not only with us, but with God. Amen. You need God to be able to commune in your heart and do something for you. You need that tonight. But find your position. Right here, we find that there was positions as he used the body right here. He talked about the foot saying to the hand, and the ear saying to the eyes, and the eye talking about talking to the hearing and the smelling, and all those things. But really, we need to realize that it takes all of us to make the church go round. It really does. Every one of us has got all the same job, I guess you might say. It's our requirement for all of us to go witness, ain't it? Amen. It's our requirement for us all to tithe, ain't it? Amen. Amen. It's your requirement in that to give to missions. And I mean, I can just go on and on and on. But he said, well, preacher, I can't do this and do that. Hey, if you go down and you look in verse 28, it talks about right here, it talks about the different gifts that the Lord had given. And one of them, I think I brought this out in the lifetime, is the gift of helps. You may not be able to teach Sunday school, but you can go help teach Sunday. You know what I mean? Them youngins running around down there wild, and these ladies back here want to pinch their head off. Y'all wouldn't want to do that, would you? Listen, over here is honest. She's smiling at me. Amen. Sometimes I might need a little help here and yonder. Just might need a little help. You never know where you can fill in where you need to be at. You need to find your position. But I can guarantee you that your position is here. Amen? It's in this house. It's in this house. So also, why persecutest thou me? It's against the church. Jesus loves the church. Died for the church. Gave himself for the church. It is the church that is the body of Christ. And that is going to be the light of this world that spreads the gospel. It's going to be the church. Wouldn't you want to be part of that? I don't want to be part of that. Find your position. Then number two, be faithful to your position. There's a lot of people start out gung-ho on things, and boy, it's going to be so wonderful, and it's going to be so great, and that to serve in the church. But then you know what happens after a period of time? Things begin to slow down, don't they? I'll deal with that here in a minute. But be faithful in your position. I want you to take your Bibles and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, let a man show account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a what? That a man be found faithful. Faithful. You know everything God requires out of us, he wants us to be faithful in it. Amen. No matter what it is, whether it is witnessing, whether it is tithing, whether it is on visitation, no matter what it might be, whether it's in daily Bible reading, whether it's in our prayer time, God wants faithfulness. Look at it from this way right here. The Bible said in Proverbs 28 that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. God blesses faithfulness.
Amen. That's right.
Ain't that right?
That's right. Amen.
God blesses faithfulness.
Amen.
God will bless you for simply being faithful to come to church.
Amen.
And then some people wonder why their life is in shambles and turned upside down, and they're not faithful to church. They're not even faithful to churches, the church that they're members of. I think if you're going to be a member here, you need to be faithful here. If you don't want to be faithful, now listen, I don't want you to leave, but I want you to listen to me, okay? Now listen, I'm not being mean, and I'm not being ugly, by no means. But if you don't want to be faithful here, then you find a place where God wants you to be faithful at. You hear me? Because just hitting and missing don't get the job done.
Amen.
And I'm not being ugly, and I'm not being mean, and I'm not wanting you to run off. But what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is you can't hit and miss and expect God to bless you and expect God to take care of all your problems and see you through all of it when you ain't even going to be faithful enough to come when the church doors are open. The preacher, are you mad? No, I'm not mad, but I'm a little angry tonight because there's some people that knows better and you ain't doing it. And you are no better. But the Lord requires faithfulness. So we find tonight that once you decide that you're going to be faithful and be faithful in your position, then do it. What do you mean? If you're going to teach, be faithful to study and be faithful to teach. Right? If I'm going to pastor this church, then I ought to be faithful to study. I ought to be faithful to preach. And I ought to be faithful to pastor. Amen. Let me ask you this question right here. What if I just hit and missed? What if I just hit and missed? How many of you all would put up with that? I'm being honest. How many of you all would put up with that? You don't put up with it on your job, do you, Nicholas? Them boys at work for you, if they start hitting and missing, you start talking to them, don't you? And if they keep on with it, they're going to get a slip and they're out the door, ain't they? You know why? They're hitting and missing. You can't get the job done. He said, well, preacher, you can't fire me. I may not be able to, but I'll guarantee you one thing. God can sure enough snatch a hold of your head.
Amen.
There's been a few people I'd like to fire it over the years. I don't even know how we got there, but ain't it good tonight? If you're going to do anything, you need to be faithful in it. If you're going to be faithful to sing, practice songs and then sing. One thing I can't stand is for people to get up and say, well, we ain't practicing all month, but we're going to try this song right here. Well, I guarantee you, did you hear what the preacher said? I don't know if he said it while we were eating or while he was up here preaching. He said when he played rock and roll music, they practiced every day. But it seems like God's people, we'll just get up on Sunday and we'll try our best. There's nothing wrong with trying your best. And if the Holy Spirit moves in your heart and says, sing, come and sing, don't let me stop you by no means. But if you're going to try to do something for God, don't you think you'll try to do your best? Don't you think He requires the best? Do you know why I dress like I do when I come to church? My best?
Yeah.
I'm just being honest tonight. Well, this message ain't going nowhere like I thought it was going to. The best God requires out of us, our best. And faithfulness is your best tonight. You ought to be faithful to do what God wants you to do. When you open your eyes in the morning, don't you want your eyes to be faithful to see? When you get up in the morning and you go get your cup of coffee or whatever you get, don't you want your arms to be faithful to reach out there and get them and do what they're supposed to do? When you go to eat, don't you? Well, I better be careful. Some of you's teeth done fell out. Amen. But don't you want your teeth to do what they're faithful to do? Huh? Dawned on me there. Huh? You wanted all the work though, don't you? He talks about the body over there. He talks about the body. The body cannot work right when parts of it are not faithful. Not to work. I'm not trying to beat up on you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. That's not it tonight. But what I'm trying to get us to see is what He requires out of us as a church member. And as a Christian. But now I'm talking about church. The Lord does bless faithfulness. We understand that. You need to be faithful in your attendance. You know why you need to be faithful in your attendance? Not only do you need to be faithful in your attendance, you're liable to miss something if you're not here.
Right.
You need to know, not only do you need to, you're liable to miss something, you need to know what's going on. If you're a member here, you need to know what's going on. Some of y'all did not come for mission conference. That 3-day mission, 3 days. Mission Conference was a blessing. That was a blessing. We had a week's long revival, 5 days. And even before we started, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, would you like me to go on past that 5 days? And not one time did I ever feel like that the Lord wanted us to go on past that 5 days. And you all are sitting back there going, boy, I'm glad. But if you missed revival, you missed a great revival.
Amen.
He done something for my heart. Done something for me. And I hope He done something for yours. But you're liable to miss something if you're not here. Do you know that if you're not here, the Lord can't help you? There's going to be things that I preach that I have preached out of this pulpit right here that would have helped you probably had you been here. So well, God knows those things. But what I'm asking is, do you reckon there's going to be a time at the judgment seat in Christ that He'd say, instead of you laying in bed late on Sunday morning and when you could have got up and went to church, the preacher preached this right here and this could have helped you and your family? I'm just asking some questions. You need to be faithful in your position. Be faithful to be a member here. He said, well, He can help me some other way. The church. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Find your position. Be faithful in your position. And then be fervent in your position. Get excited about it. After them first 2 points, boy, some of you, I'm wondering about being excited about church. Amen. Are you excited about church? Does church excite you?
Amen.
Coming to church and being able to do what God has called you to do, does it excite you? That says, boy, I get to go do this. I get to go worship with God's people. I get to go tithe. I get to go give to missions. I get excited about those things. Get to go sing in the choir?
Yeah, praise God.
Get to listen to our pastor preach?
Yeah.
Glory!
Yeah.
Man, that little sawed-off preacher. But if you ain't right with God, it's sometimes hard to be excited to come to church. He said in Romans chapter 12, he said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business. And he said this, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent. Are you excited? Or did you have to drag yourself here? Now me and my wife, we had to make ourselves come tonight. Not because we were not excited about the Lord. It's because we was tired. Amen? How many of y'all were tired tonight? Man, I got some honest people. Amen? I wanted to take a nap. We come in and I went straight from walking in the door and getting cleaned up and putting my suit back on and getting all those things taken care of, and back out the door we went again. I never laid my head down one time. I needed to. And so it was a little tough to come, but it's exciting to be here tonight.
Amen.
Why? God's liable to do something for you. And God's liable to do something for me. I'm determined if we come to church looking for God to do something, He'll do something. But what does it mean to be a good church member? And by the way, some of you still need to join. I'm just saying. I thought I'd throw that in there for a little extra. We'll deal with that later on down the road, I guess. But what keeps us? What keeps us from being fervent in our position in the body? I can tell you from a pastor's standpoint that when I come in Sunday after Sunday and preach Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and load and unload and reload and load and unload and reload and all those things, and it seems like nobody's getting it, that can make me weary in what I do. Galatians 6 and 9, he said, let's not be weary in what I do, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I didn't say that you wouldn't get it. I said, when it seems like you're not getting it. Now, God does just like He done with Ruth, as we've seen in the revival. He does something secret in the heart.
Amen.
And so we understand that the preacher may not even see what's going on in the heart. Amen. But God certainly does. But what happens is, no matter your position, there's times that we come in, you get up and you sing, and it seems like there's crickets out there while you're singing. Right? Well, there they went. Seems like there's crickets. Nobody cares whether I sing or not. Nobody cares whether I do what I'm supposed to do. I think sometimes we let the devil play with our mind. Mm-hmm. He'll jump up on your shoulder, will he not?
Amen.
He'll jump up. It's like going witnessing. It's like witnessing. If you go knock on door after door after door after door, and you tell people that they need to get saved, but yet nobody gets saved, you will get weary of well doing after a little while. But you know what you do? You get fervent in spirit. You say, Lord, just renew my spirit, and let me keep going. Why? Let's not be weary and well doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not. So you just make it through that slow time, that bad time, that dry time, that low time, and you just keep on going. Do you know there's times that you have to push yourself to come to church?
Right. Amen.
You're going to have to push yourself.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel like coming.
Amen.
You're going to come in on Wednesday nights and you're going to say, man, that poor old preacher, he's going to preach till 8:30. He don't know how tired I am. I do know how tired you are. But you're just going to have to push yourself and say, I want to go because I want to get something from God. My wife made a statement one time, and it's probably been 4, 5, 6 years ago. She said, and we were talking about it on Wednesday night, and she said, it's just amazing. It is amazing how tired you are when you come to church on Wednesday night, but it is amazing what you get when you come. I don't exactly know. Did you use the word amazing? It might have been astronomical. I don't know. But the idea was, even though she came tired, she still got something from God. I'm just saying, be faithful and then be fervent in it. Now let me say this, that sometimes the reason that you're struggling is not because you've become weary. Why do you think Paul warned us of that? Now, why do you think Paul would warn the church at Galatia to let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not? Why would he warn the church that? Because he knew it was going to happen. He knew it was going to come. He knew that those times like that was going to come up in our life. But you know, sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's us. You know why sometimes our fervent spirit has run out? It's not because we become weary. It's because we become wrong. It's because there's something that's got between us and God, and that fervent spirit has got cut off. You can't get excited about coming to church when you ain't right with God. He said to be fervent in spirit in Romans 12. If you're having trouble with being excited, say, Lord, why am I having trouble being excited? Actually, most people wouldn't have to ask God. He's already told you why. He's already explained why. Be fervent. Hey, listen, you want to be a good church member? Come in here excited. Come in here excited. Let's go to meet. I believe when we come in here excited, I believe God's just liable to show up. You ever been into a church where nobody's excited? Where it's just like they've come to, we're just going to do it and go home?
Yeah.
There ain't much to that, is there?
No.
Do you want? I don't want that. I don't think that's how we are here.
No.
I really don't. I really don't think that's how it is. But if there's a reason you're not excited about the position that you're in at the church, say, Lord, why am I like this? Pray and seek God and say, Lord, I need some help and I need a refreshing. And that from you. Be fervent in your position. Foster unity in your position. In verses 25 through 27, he said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Can I tell you tonight that we need to have care one for another? You ever been in a church where people didn't seem to care one for another?
Amen.
I mean, They didn't care. If you wasn't there, they didn't care. If you were there, they didn't care. I'm just looking how I see it. He said there should be no schism. That word schism means a division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I'll guarantee you that if I hit my thumb with a hammer, the rest of my body cares.
Amen.
Think about that for just a second. Men, some ladies, it's even done that. You hit that thumb with a hammer, I'll guarantee you the rest of you is going to care. Mm-hmm. And your mouth's even liable to say so.
Amen.
Oh! Amen. Don't let it say things it shouldn't. Amen. That's what some of y'all were already thinking. That wasn't what the preacher was talking about. He said, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We're all the body of Christ. But he said, we're members in particular. We all have a position to fill and a place in the church house. My wife, you don't see her a whole lot in church other than just singing in the choir and sometimes me and her singing. She gets my water for me. That's a good job. I'm glad somebody gets my water. But her position is more behind the scenes to try to help your pastor along the way. You see, there's just some things that sometimes you don't see that's going on behind the scenes that people's doing things. Sister Christy makes sure that this church is clean and spotless. I mean, you don't do that. She does that. I'm glad she does that. I don't have to worry about it. I've come in here in the old days and I have vacuumed the floor and I have cleaned the toilets and I have done what's needed to be done. But I'm glad she takes care of it. Them fellas back there take care of making sure everything's recorded the way that it's supposed to be recorded and make sure the preacher gets it the way that I need it. I'm just saying that there's things that take place that a lot of people don't think nothing of behind the scenes. So in other words, your position may not always have to be out front to be used of God. I don't know how I got back to that. I'll get back to this fostering unity here in just a second, okay? I'm going to stay where I'm at. Let me park right here. Do you know you don't always have to be seen in serving God?
Amen.
I'm just seen because that's what the position requires. But you know when I say that I go on the radio and we do all the radio work that we do here in this church and everything that we do and folk knows the name of this church and folk knows my name, but friend, to be honest with you, it don't faze me one bit whether they know it or not. I just want them to know Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, that's all that matters. The whole idea of that radio broadcast or all those radio broadcasts is to put the gospel out, not so that folk will know who Unity Baptist is, not so that we could brag and say, boy, look at what our church is able to do. Hey, we're only able to do it because God has blessed us and made us able to do it. But we go back to fostering unity and fostering care between one another. That word foster means to feed or to support, or to encourage. So we should feed that unity. Now I'm not talking about unity for the sake of unity. I'm talking about unity around the Scripture and around the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not going to, let me see how I can put this. I don't want to compromise for the sake of unity. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to give up my convictions and what I believe just so that we can be in unity. One of us is probably going to have to part ways. But he said to that word foster in the Webster's 1828 dictionary means to feed or to support. So if we're fostering that unity and that care, that means we're feeding it. That means we're supporting it and trying to make it happen. He said that the members should have the same care one for another. There should be no schism, no division. There should be no cliques in the church. We ought to have the same care one for another. This side on this side and in the middle on both sides. We should have the same care no matter who you are. I should preach to this side like I'm going to preach to this side.
Amen.
I should preach to your child like I'll preach to anybody else's child. Just because they're your child don't mean I'm going to back up. Right? He said that whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. If somebody's suffering, if somebody's mourning, then church, we ought to be mourning with them. If somebody's rejoicing, even though we may not have much of a reason to rejoice. If they're rejoicing, we ought to rejoice with them. Amen. We ought to rejoice with them. The Bible said in Psalms 133, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." He said, "How good and how pleasant it is." Now, some of y'all have belonged to other churches besides this one over the years, and some of you have been through church trouble.
Amen.
There's not much worse than church trouble. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. People that you, and I'm talking about folk that you loved and that you thought loved you. I don't know what makes people like that man, they'll turn on you. Would you do somebody like that? Because see, if you would, there's already something wrong with your heart now. I understand that all of us ain't going to agree. And I know that there's times that as your pastor, I've got things that I've got to handle and it's got to be taken care of. But I'll do it out of love, or try my best to do it out of love and out of care and out of spiritualness. Galatians 6 and 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering himself lest I also be tempted. I'm going to try to be very spiritual when I do that. And if you know something needs to be taken care of, if you've got things, hey, listen, it's just like in your family. If you know that things has got to be handled in your family, you want to take care of them, but you want to take care of them right, don't you? So he says, whether one suffer, he said, then you suffer. If one's be honored, then you honored. You rejoice with them. Now are you the body of Christ and members in particular. We need to be working together and not apart. Take your Bible and go to the book of 3 John as I get ready to close. Look in 3 John, little John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. You'll find it there. Back up. I want you to look in 3 John, only one chapter. Look in verse 9. I wrote unto the church. See who he's writing to? Little John's writing to the church, ain't he? I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Let's go back and let's look at Diotrephes' problem. What does the Bible tell us in verse 9? It said that he loveth to have what? The preeminence. That word preeminence literally means priority of place. That means he wants to be first.
Amen.
When you find yourself in this church wanting to be first, you're messed up. When you find yourself saying, I don't have to do what the Bible says. I don't have to do what the preacher says. I don't have to do what the Sunday school teacher has taught. Then you're in preeminence. You've put yourself in preeminence. Because what you've done is you have put yourself first. So the problem right here with Diotrephes, and I know it goes deeper than just what I said right there, but it said who loveth. See, not only did he want the preeminence, but he loved to have the preeminence. It said who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Not only did he want to be first, not only did he want to rule. See, that was another problem that he had, because he said he loved to have the preeminence among them. He wanted to be first among them. He wanted to be the top dog. He wanted to rule. He wanted it his way. He said, "Where?" He said, "He will not receive us." You get in your own state, and when I get on my own state of anything, I don't really care what the preacher says. Now, you won't say this out loud, but how many of you just said, "I'm going to do it my way, and I don't care what the Bible says"? Mm-hmm. Or, "I think it ought to be this way. I don't care what the Bible says." Mm-hmm. Now that's going to get you and whoever else you're dealing with in trouble. Mm-hmm. He said, "Wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words." That word malicious, I mean, he's talking about extreme hatred and malice. He said he's prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. There's nothing he's content with. "Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." He said if he's going to take, he won't even take the brethren in, but throws them out. But I want you to look in verse 12. We find a man in verse 9 and 10 talking about Diotrephes, but in verse 12 we find a man by the name of Demetrius, and it says, "Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also by a record, and you know that our record is true." He contrasts these two men right here in verse 12. He said, "Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself." He believes the truth. How many of us would believe the truth tonight? How many of us has got a good report among men? All men. How many of us have a good report in this church? Are we fostering unity? Are we finding our position and doing it? Are we being faithful to our position? Am I doing okay now?
Amen.
He said, "Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself." Well, that's what we need tonight, is just the truth. That's exactly what you need tonight, is the truth. Can I tell you tonight that this church will get more done working together and what we never do working apart? That makes sense, don't it? You get more done on a job working together than you will working apart. It takes all of us to get it done. Every one of us. It took me a little while, but it didn't take me long. Probably about 6 months of pastoring. And I may not have learned a whole lot, but it's like there's a little light bulb went off in my head one day that said, it takes more than just you. Amen. Preacher can't carry the whole load.
Amen.
Preacher can't. What did I tell you? I can play the piano and the bass guitar and the guitar and all those things, and I can lead singing and do, but that's not my position to do those things unless I just have to. I don't want to. There's other people here that are better at it than I am.
Amen.
And that's what they need to be doing. My job is to pastor this church. My job is to preach to you and tell you the truth. My job is to try to find the mind of God. My job is to be a shepherd. That's my job.
Amen.
What's your job tonight in the church? So, preacher, all I can do is pray. That's all I know how to do. And you know what I want you to do? I want you to be one of them prayer warriors that know how to pray and get after it. Be faithful on that pew. Be faithful in that position to be here and do it. Let's bow our heads tonight. Can I ask you, as these men come and get a verse of invitation, what's God want you to do here in local assembly? Can I tell you, first thing is going to have to be faithfulness. And whatever God's called you to do, that's what He wants you to be faithful at. Do you know that? The very first thing I think God wants me to be faithful at is preaching. That's my call. That's my call, is preaching or to preach. That's what He's called me to do. Well, listen, I believe He's put me here to pastor. I ought to be faithful to pastor. What's He put you in this local assembly for? What's He want you to do right here? What is it tonight? What is it? Are you being faithful? I'm just asking. All He wants us to do is just to find our position, be faithful in it, have some fervency in it. Foster some care and unity between one another. And just do our job and be happy in it. And you know, to do that, sometimes you just got to get you out of the way. And I got to get me out of the way to do those things. What about you tonight? Are you where God wants you at? Spiritually, are you where you need to be at? Let me ask you tonight, if you're not saved, you can't be part of the church until you get saved tonight. You need to come and trust Jesus as your Savior, and He'll save you tonight. And not only make you part of the body of Christ, you can be part of local assembly then. Serve God with you that He'd have you to. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help during this invitation. You know needs here tonight. Some folk might need to come and draw close to you. Lord, I don't know the need on folks' heart. I've just tried to preach what You give us and try to be honest in my preaching tonight. I've not wanted to be ugly or mean or any of those things, Lord. And You know my heart. And I think most of these folk know my heart tonight. Lord, did I care for this church? And Lord, if we're going to go forward, we're going to have to find our position and get faithful in it and be fervent in it and do our job. One here tonight that might be lost, I pray You might save them. Encourage them to be saved that they might move. And we'll tell You that we love You and thank You. Help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name.